Redline.
A successor of the late Mullah Omar, himself the founding father of the Taliban and one of the most wanted criminals in the U.S.'s terrorist list, the new Taliban leader Akhtar Mohammad Mansour is facing a mutiny within his own ranks. According to knowledgeable sources, senior Taliban figures walked out of a leadership meeting in protest, refusing to acknowledge Mansour's authority. This comes as ISIL is steadily expanding its reach across Afghanistan, and notably after the U.S.-led coalition drastically withdrew most of its contingent at the end of last year. The future of the Taliban, once taken to be a given, now appears to be questionable. And since he'll either be the man to hold it together or the one to tear it apart, Akhtar Mohammad Mansour is our Man of the News this week.
Well, Andrew, what's happening with the Taliban movement after the death of Mullah Omar is very dramatic. It seems that the movement, while being far from the being on the last legs, is seemingly disintegrating. I have a feeling that it would just split into moderates and radicals, and probably more moderates would enter political process in the Afghanistan, while those hardline Taliban would go in hiding, would go in mountain and continue fighting. Probably they try to rebrand themselves under the ISIL banners. But we have to look at the situation in Afghanistan in a broader context, because America has its own stakes, Russia has its own stakes in Afghanistan, so does China and Pakistan also there. So I think that what's happening in this country can have a profound effect on the situation in the region and also in international politics as well. And that's why today we are discussing the situation inside Taliban and what would happen to the new leader, because a lot would depend actually on him.
Okay, well, what do you say we start this discussion right now with your in-studio guest, Mr. Fyodor Vitalovsky, Deputy Director of the Institute of World Economy and International Relations. So can you tell us more about the convergent interest between the U.S., Russia, and China in Afghanistan as per this Taliban secession crisis that's evolving?
You know, I would like to suggest to you the broader picture of the development of Taliban. I do not think that the figure of Mullah Omar was so principal for the development of the movement, because from the beginning and from the beginning of American operation in Afghanistan, Taliban movement was very divergent and divided into different frames and different groups. Of course, Mullah Omar was the person who was dominating in the political elite of Taliban and concentrating in his hands power and influence on many groups of Taliban. But it is still divided into different groups, and it is very hard to say who is moderate or who is more radical inside Taliban, because our experts in Afghanistan, they usually say that in spring and autumn, there is a phenomenon of radicalization of positions of Taliban because of the weather. They are becoming more active in terms of military activity and in terms of trying to take over different parts of the country and to gain more political and military influence in the country. But during winter, a lot of Taliban warlords are becoming more moderate because of the season.
Mr. Vitalovsky, I want a bit to disagree with you. You said the figure, if I get you right, the figure is not important. But look, what happened this week? Don't you think that this is a coincidence that after the announced news of the death of Mullah Omar, we've seen those, you know, water words between Taliban leaders? We've seen both son of the late Mullah Omar and his brother challenging new Taliban leader Akhtar Mohammed Mansour. And finally, probably you've seen that the all-powerful leader of Taliban, who is stationed in Doha, actually challenged Mansour by saying that hiding the news about the death of Mullah Omar, who died 2 years ago, was a historic mistake. And this happened just within a week. So if he is not important, while such dramatic developments taking place after they lost their banner? Explain us.
I didn't say that he was not important, mm-hmm. but he was not the real commander or real figure who was controlled.
But the symbol is important.
More symbolic, more a figure of ideological influence, or we can call him a sort of a regulating person in the hierarchy of Taliban. But there are different groups inside this movement, and from the beginning, when the United States, it happened in 2006, as I remember, and was initiated by Richard Holbrooke, when they were trying to find more radical or more moderate groups to organize talks with moderate Taliban leaders, they faced situation when one day one group is dominating, but another day another group is taking control over, for example, financial resources, trade routes, or drug-producing facilities, and it is becoming more dominating. But I think that Mullah Omar was significant, you know, as you said, symbolic figure, but I think that external players in Afghanistan, and especially Pakistan, they are influencing of the development of this movement. And I think that principal thing to, you know, to describe the principal feature which is describing current situation in Taliban is the lack of power of its leaders and lack of a deficit of stability in the system of checks and balances between them. And I think that in this case, the threat of penetration of Islamic State influence into Taliban and into the region is one of the principal threats which can dramatically change the whole system of checks and balances in Taliban.
Red Line.
Right now, moving to the line, we have Ms. Veronika Eschbacher on there. She's an international observer who visited Afghanistan, and she's with Vinod Zaytung. Hello, Ms. Eschbacher.
Hello.
Can you please tell us more about the significance of Mullah Omar's passing and whether or not this is an existential moment for the Taliban?
It certainly is an existential moment for the Taliban. Their founder and long-year leader he passed away, obviously, already at least 2.5 years ago. But what has been kept together with the secret that he has been passed away already is that the movement has been contained and that they were unified. Nobody ever, even Taliban that defected from the Taliban or fighters that defected from the Taliban, they never challenged his authority. He was always the one and only leader. But now, with the new Taliban leader, Mullah Akhtar Mansur, we see that he is under big pressure, and also the way he was elected, he has been openly challenged already.
Yeah, well, can you tell us more about Mr. Akhtar Mohammed Mansur, and why are people even rebelling against him in the first place? What is it about him?
Well, he had long been seen as one of the most pro-peace and moderate figures in the movement's leadership. It seems like maybe you have heard his first speech, his first audio tape that he gave, where he said that he would proceed with jihad. So it seems, which is a bit unusual for him maybe, but it seems likely that he now adopted a hardline position on peace talks in order to consolidate and unify the movement. He has basically been the vice head, if you want to say so, of the Taliban for several years now. And some certainly give him credit for how he has led the insurgency over the past years, that he would not corrupt it or he would not show off his power, it is often mentioned. But at the same time, as the colleague before mentioned already, he has also been asked why he kept this lie in secrecy for so long.
Veronika, probably you've seen that the change of command in Taliban top ranks and emergence of Mullah Mansur as the leader triggered the debate of whether the new movement would disintegrate into so-called moderates and radicals. What's your take on that? Where are you in this dispute?
Well, there is, of course, a danger of this, but, you know, there is a lot of dust in the air at the moment, but at the moment, as far as I hear from Islamabad and Kabul, the majority of the high-ranking Taliban, still, some have certainly spoken out, but the majority of them still are silent. They have not yet made up their mind. They neither spoke out for or against him. They are actually waiting to see what's best for them. But of course, there is a possibility that everyone will create or will become a warlord of his own.
Red Line.
Right now, we have Mr. Taya Baloch, multimedia journalist from Pakistan working for Abtak TV and founder of the Silk Post, on the line with us from Pakistan to discuss this topic. So, Taya, well, what do you make out of all the talk of an inner Taliban split after Mullah Omar's death announcement? And also, what are people in Pakistan saying about it?
Yeah, let me answer. Mullah Omar's brothers, Maulana Manan, said his family would only serve the new chief if he was re-elected in consultation with founding fathers of the Taliban and Islamic scholars who had played a key role in strengthening the Islamic Emirates of Afghanistan, or if Maulana Akhtar Mansur, a new Taliban chief, will succeed to gain the sympathies of Taliban's forefathers, then his family will support him. Besides this, Mullah Umar death reports have caused strong blow to the peace talks, but observers say that when new leader Mullah Akhtar Mansur is able to gain support, then peace talks are likely to resume on positive note. Now it's time for the for Afghanistan President Ashraf Ghani to hold his nerves and keep the pace of peace talks with new Taliban chief. Through speculation are on hype, as anti-peace talks elements in Afghan government could spoil the process. While, as you say, what's the opinion of Pakistan, I gather the opinions of Pakistani peoples, mostly Pakistani peoples, think that news of Mullah Umar death announcement at that very time when peace talks are underway signals that United States felt so badly its absence in peace talks between Afghan government and Taliban. While U.S. observing Pakistan and China holding the whole phenomena of peace talks themselves without sharing and informing U.S. Moreover, this news was made public by Western media just to give the space to ISLR dash in Pakistan and Afghanistan and to split further Taliban fragmentation and to strengthen the ISIL in the region.
Yeah, that's actually what I wanted to ask you about for a follow-up question. How do you think all this will affect ISIL's entrance into the Afghan theater?
Yes, because I want to answer about this question that ISIL is a splinter group, which is also composed of criminals and mercenaries. Many believe that ISIL in Afghanistan is secretly funded by CIA and U.S. contractors based inside Afghanistan. At that moment, it is less threat and Afghan Taliban has decided to crush them. In short, there is no space for ISIL or Daesh on Afghanistan theater, but U.S.-led West would like to keep the region in jeopardy by the presence of ISIL in Afghanistan so that West can continue its proxy war against regional powers, that is China, Russia, Iran, and emerging Pakistan and Central Asian states.
Okay, yes. Yeah. So now just speaking more about a regional forecast, as you were intimating, just as my concluding question to you, where do you see the Taliban headed in the next 6 months? I mean, will it recover from these divisions, break up into splinter groups, or perhaps some other kind of scenario? What do you think?
Yeah, according to my opinion, that reconciliation, I also want to give, want to share some new things about the reconciliation process. Reconciliation efforts after the death of Mullah Umar has started. Inside Afghanistan and from Pakistan, many influential groups are playing active role to bring an end to the inter-Taliban division. It is expected they will unite again against foreign forces and ISIL inside Afghanistan, as they already had warned ISIL leader Abu Bakr Baghdadi not to interfere in Afghanistan. It is tradition that Afghan had always united against foreign forces to throw them out of Afghanistan by keeping aside their internal differences. In next 6 month times, I can see Taliban again as important political force. Beside this, it seems that Taliban cannot again conquer Kabul, while other side, Western forces and NATO had failed to defeat them. That's why negotiation is the only solution for peace in Afghanistan and for the peace in the whole region. And it also seems that China is playing on forefront with the negotiation of Taliban with the help of Pakistan. And maybe in future, these Talibans will become the security guard of China's Silk Road initiatives through Central Asia states and in Afghanistan and in Pakistan. And it seems that soon, maybe China will succeed to negotiate with the negotiation with the Taliban, and I hope, and it also seems that soon the Talibans who in favor of talks will become the safeguard of China's initiatives in the region.
Thank you very much, Mr. Baloch. We appreciate it. That being said, we're wrapping up our third section about the Taliban secessionist struggle, so we're thanking all of our guests for participating, beginning with Mr. Fyodor Vitalovsky, Deputy Director of the Institute of World Economy and International Relations, Ms. Veronika Eschbacher, International Observer who visited Afghanistan from Vinir Setung, and Mr. Tayyab Baloch, Multimedia Journalist from Pakistan working for Abtak TV and founder of The Silk Post. Right now, we end this week's edition of Redline, brought to you by Radio Sputnik. It was presented by me, Andrew Kripko.
And Sergei Strokhan.
Thank you for staying with us. Goodbye and take care.
Take care and goodbye.